In Washington, a judge lifting a ban that barred alleged Madame Jean Palfrey from distributing her phone records. I'm Lori London, Fox News Radio.
Welcome to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660, your place for biblically informed conversation on issues that matter. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church located at 2020 Gibshoals Road in Greer and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. To find out more about our ministry and how you can make a tax-deductible donation, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. If you have a question or a comment on today's topic, call 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Now, here are the hosts of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Welcome into Calling for Truth. We're happy that you've joined us today. It's Friday, and some of you may not have heard the broadcast yesterday, and you may be looking for Q&A Friday. But we're not going to do that today. We did that yesterday because on today's broadcast, we have a very special guest. We have Richard Phillips with us. He's a member of the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. He's the senior minister now of Second Presbyterian Church. How could I forget? Mel Duncan's looking at me like, what are you saying? Second Presbyterian Church here in Greenville, South Carolina. Previously served as Minister of Preaching in the historic 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia. I wanted to mention that because we've appreciated the ministry out of 10th Presbyterian for so many years. I guess most notably in recent years, it would be James Montgomery Boyce, but also is it Phil Reinken who's up there now? We appreciate both of them, and you are obviously involved in all of that, Richard, and so we appreciate what the Lord has done and is doing through you and through those folks there. As I said, member of the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals, chairman of the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology. We could go on. We'll mention some other things. But I just want you to know that we've got a servant of the Lord here who's involved in a number of different things. He's got his hand to the plow, as it were. And we're happy that you are able to be with us on the broadcast today. We're going to be talking about a number of things, but most notably, we're going to be talking about Richard Phillips' most recent book, Jesus the Evangelist, and that's something that all of us need to learn more about as Christians who want to be part of what God is doing. And if we're Christians, that's exactly what we want. So let me say, Richard, welcome into the broadcast. Kevin, I think it's going to be a great interview.
I think so, too, Paul. You know, you left off just a couple of items. I know his background information is lengthy, and we just selected a couple things. But one of the most notable items that I saw there was that he commanded a tank unit as an officer in the U.S. Army and later served as an assistant professor of leadership at the U.S. Military Academy at West Point. Mm-hmm. That would make an interesting discussion as well. Yes. He also has his own radio program called God's Living Word, and that I know is heard in Florida. Hopefully it'll be heard here in this area sometime shortly, so we're looking forward to that. And also, we've got Mel Duncan with us, you mentioned, here in the studio as well. And Mel, of course, is the Director of Church Relations for Ligonier Ministries. And Ligonier Ministry is the ministry that has published Richard's latest book, Jesus the Evangelist, from their new division called Reformation Trust. So I thought maybe we could start off today. We'll just have Mel say hello here. Tell us about Reformation Trust in this new book. And also, there's an important installation service that is taking place very shortly here. Mm-hmm. In fact, this Sunday, it'll be taking place. And you mentioned Philip Reinken. Reinken will be coming down for that right here in the Greenville area, as well as Sinclair Ferguson will be leading that service. And so I'm planning on going. Save me a seat. And we're looking forward to that. And welcome, Richard, to the Greenville area.
It's wonderful to be here. And it's also good to be with you, Kevin. I'm really here just holding the bags today. That's really all my purpose is. I am so excited about our new minister here at Second Church in Greenville, Rick Phillips. And I'm also excited about his involvement with Ligonier Ministries and our new publishing arm, Reformation Trust. And I think you're going to talk a little bit about Jesus the Evangelist today.
That's right.
And some of the things Rick is writing and teaching and doing through his involvement with Ligonier Ministries.
Amen. Well, let's get started on the discussion. Rick, tell us a little bit, why don't you, about your work with the Confessing Evangelicals, the alliance there, and then maybe we can make a segue to start talking about your book a little bit as well.
Sure. First, let me just say how happy I am and my wife and children are to be living and ministering here in Greenville, South Carolina. We could not be happier than to be here. And in our whole experience, the church has been wonderful. Really look forward to my installation Sunday night. Mm-hmm. And look forward not merely to getting to know my congregation and ministering to them, but to connecting to the city of Greenville and other churches and Christian leaders.
Praise the Lord.
So it's a real thrill for us, and we're a little knee-deep in boxes right now, but we're still excited. Yes, I've been involved for a number of years now with an organization known as the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals, headquartered out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, near 10th Presbyterian Church, where mm-hmm. I both came to faith in the Lord mm-hmm. when I was a graduate student in Philadelphia, and later I was the evening preacher there, and I was close with Dr. Boyce. Mm-hmm. But the Alliance exists to call today's church to a modern reformation. Mm-hmm. And we do believe that Christianity in America is being imperiled by our failure to live out the biblical Christian faith and to teach the biblical Christian truth. And this is an organization founded by James Boyce in 1994. Mm. And we really do a couple of things simultaneously. One is we have a number of programs. We have a number of radio programs, Dr. Boyce's Bible Study Hour. We still play Dr. Barnhouse in the Bible, mm-hmm. which is scintillating stuff. Mm-hmm. Somebody will say, oh, you know, when did he die? 1960? That's old news. Well, then listen to it. It mm-hmm. is scintillating stuff. Phil Ryken has his program. I have mine, A God's Living Word. We put on conferences and events really all through America. That's something I'm more directly involved with. I oversee a lot of that. Mm-hmm. Ligon Duncan from Jackson, Mississippi is our president, and he really leads us as well. And what we're trying to do is foster some Christian statesmanship. Mm-hmm. There is a great need for us to recapture a lost evangelicalism. Yeah. And I mean an evangelicalism that is really focused on the evangel, mm-hmm. the biblical gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are optimists about what the Word of God will do in our generation, as it did in previous generations, and about God's faithfulness to those who will rally, not around mere method and pragmatic number seeking and influence seeking, but a desire to do God's work His way, see God's blessing in our own lives, our own churches, our culture. We, the Alliance, have tried to be a stimulus to that. No one can do that themselves. But I think God's blessed us as a stimulus to it, both through our conference events, which I think are very significant, many of our participants. I mentioned Ligon Duncan, Philip Ryken, Mark Dever, an mm-hmm. influential Southern Baptist is with us, Derek Thomas. We are the hands of the plow. Mm-hmm. We don't want to just sit and look at our church today and say, boy, we have a lot of problems. We want, in a positive way, to try and be a catalyst for what we do believe is the recovery of important things that are being lost. Mm-hmm. I do believe that. And we have been chasing the whirlwind a bit, and we're starting to reap it now. Mm-hmm. And so we want to encourage. I always think of particularly small church pastors who are being told everywhere that you can't just preach the Word of God. You can't just be a man of God. You've got to be a celebrity. You've got to be a marketing figure. We want to say to the people of God and to the churches and the men of God in the pulpits, let's walk in the ways of our fathers. God has blessed that. Mm-hmm. You're always hearing today, you know, the old ways don't work anymore. You don't really believe you can just preach the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I always say, well, I don't know what you mean by just, because there are other things I do. But I do believe it. Nice. I believe it is the Word of God with the power of God. And it was not by chance that my opening sermon preached at Second Pres last week was on Isaiah 55, God's mighty word. Let's take our stand on the Word of God. And so that's the Alliance. Through my association with James Boyce, I've been involved in a number of ways over the years. And we continue the work, and, you know, it's a thrill to see God bless him.
Amen. Well, you can tell you're not very passionate about it at all. So
you might want to also mention Reformation 21, the online magazine.
Well, thank you, brother. Well, you know, the Internet's an important medium today.
Mm-hmm.
And like everything else, it's up for grabs. And so Ref 21 is our Internet arm. Ref21.com.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Paul, you know, we got a lot of extra listeners, I think, listening today out on SermonAudio.com. You're welcome to call in. And toll free 1-888-660-9535. That's the number. Give us a call with your questions.
Thanks for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. For more information about our ministry and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
Bottles of pills and no relief. Are these medicines making you well or sick? Are they just covering up your symptoms or causing new problems? Hello, I'm Carmen Hamilton. Join Dr. Izquierdo and myself on Christian Talk 660 for Live Well, your chiropractic magazine on the airwaves. Hear stories of hope from Dr. Manuel Izquierdo, how specific chiropractic care can be a new way to live well.
Hi, I'm Darren Smith, and I'm the director of Providence Biblical Counseling Center. Our mission is to promote the sufficiency of Scripture in counseling through training and biblical discipleship. At Providence, our desire is to help those who are hurting and to see the lost experience salvation and the fullness of joy in Christ. Because we have freely received, we are to freely give. Therefore, our services are offered at no cost. To schedule an appointment, please call 864-420-2688. That's 420-2688.
If you have the desire to help a child that is struggling in school, STRIDE, a Christian nonprofit tutoring program, needs volunteers now to commit to 2 late afternoons a week to help needy children in our neighborhoods. Call Dr. Everett at 246-9898 or go to our website, stridestutor.org. Our children are failing and you can be the answer. Please call 246-9898.
Welcome back to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. We appreciate you tuning in today. For more information about our ministry, the Biblical Counseling Center, and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
All right. Just wanted to mention Reformation 21. It's the online magazine of the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. The most recent issue. Got a big old picture of J.I. Packer right there in the center, and article about him and some things he's had to say. And I just mention that because there's so much you can get out there. I'll just put in one more plug since Mel Duncan is with us today. It's been probably a year, maybe 2 years ago, that I read Ligon Duncan's article out there on Reformation 21 about the new perspectives on Paul. Just tremendously helpful. So the resources there are absolutely wonderful. What is it, Reformation21.com?
That's right.
All right. Our special guest is Rick Phillips. He's the new pastor, Second Presbyterian Church here in Greenville, South Carolina. A lot of other things in his background we'll mention as we go along, but we're going to go to the phone lines next. We've got Albert from Taylor's. Albert, welcome into the broadcast. Go right ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Wow, my ears perked up when I heard somebody say you can just preach the word and that's okay.
That's right. Amen.
Fortunately, that's quite a refreshing phrase in our day and age, and with all the speaker-sensitive methods, I just wanted to briefly just say, to take that approach, I think it's a biblical approach, and it's actually very refreshing.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, you know, we are living in a time when we want to avoid the false dichotomies. This is kind of what I'm getting at in the book, Jesus the Evangelist.
Mm-hmm.
We want to preach the word, but we want to have the passion that the seeker-sensitive people have shown for reaching people who actually are perishing. Let me just be up front. I have a lot of serious concerns with the whole seeker-sensitive methodology. And yet we people who, I certainly would put myself in this camp, who have a strong concern for biblical doctrine, as we should have, we need to pick up some of that passion and to be the evangelizing evangelicals our forefathers were. But mainly I want to thank you for it, because mm-hmm. it's going to be through the Word of God, and that's where mm-hmm. the power is, and I appreciate your words very much.
Yeah, I would just say one more thing, maybe to turn the phrase on its head. Instead of striving to be seeker-sensitive, we would be sensitive seekers of God. And at least as I read the Scripture, people who come away with an accurate vision of God do get that passion you're talking about.
Well,
for themselves and to share it.
And what does Jesus say? God is seeking. Really, it's the seeking God.
Mm-hmm.
And he is seeking people to worship him in spirit and truth. And if that doesn't give us passion, right, then nothing will.
Mm. Anything else, Albert? I think you left. Albert, you still there? All right, I think he left. And listen, Kevin, you made sort of a little bit of a joke there going into the break, and I appreciate it. But I was just going to say, here we are talking about theological things. Here we are talking about academic things. And if you go out to the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals, this is not light stuff. And it's not over your head. If you read it and pray and study, you're gonna appreciate it and be impacted by it. But they're dealing with solid, sound, biblical, theological, doctrinal issues there. And yet, even though we have an academic sitting here in the studio, you can tell by the way he talks and by the way he's moving, he's got a passion for what he's talking about.
Amen.
And that comes from, again, I would say, a high view of who God is,
Amen.
The seeking God, the one who's seeking those who worship him in spirit and truth. I appreciate that. Right out of John 4, what you deal with in your book.
Amen. Well, you know, people will say, you start talking with theology, and many people will say, oh, you're over my head. You know, we need to be plain-spoken men. I certainly desire to be plain and direct and clear. But what we've done, what we want to do, is elevate our vision off of ourselves under the glory of God. That's what we want to do, and that's where the power comes, when we're filled with a vision of the glory of God. What made Isaiah the bold man he was? Well, it was the vision of God that he received in Isaiah chapter 6. And I do think that's what we need to recover in our generation, is a God-centered vision of majesty and glory and power and grace.
Amen. You're certainly singing our song. We've been talking about that for quite a while on the radio program. Let me just mention that your book is broken up into three different sections. And in the first set, you take the first four chapters of the book of John. I think in the first part of the book, you deal with chapters 1 and 2. Second part of the book, you deal with chapters 3 with that very interesting, of course, conversation that's recorded for us with Nicodemus that is there. And then coming out of that, you talk about the Samaritan woman. We want to make a beeline for that Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. But before we do that, give us a little bit of a synopsis, just a summary, brief summary of what we would see in those opening two or three chapters.
Well, here's where it comes from. I had been preaching expository sermons sequentially through the Gospel of John. In fact, this coming Lord's Day, I begin in John 1:1 at second pres. In the beginning was the Word, and I'll preach through John starting again. And an interesting question when you're studying John's Gospel is, what is driving John methodologically in terms of what's different in his Gospel from the other Gospels? And the early church writings, Papias and some of those people, Irenaeus, will tell us that John wrote much later than the other three gospel writers, and there were some things that he wanted included that they had not included. Well, then you start asking yourself, what characterizes the material that John puts in his gospel that's not in the other gospels? And one of the strong characteristics is, here you have material where Jesus is engaged in personal evangelism. And think about that, John chapter 3, which is only found there. What's going on? This evangelistic encounter with Nicodemus, John chapter 4. And so I was intrigued, and I do think that John is a wonderful study of evangelism. And I will say, I believe that there's two great needs in evangelism today in our churches. One is that our approach to evangelism should be biblically reformed. We are badly hurting ourselves by engaging in things that we call evangelism that the Bible would not consider evangelism, largely because of the absence of the gospel of Christ in it. We're marketing goods and services. I often say we market the byproducts of Christianity, but not Christ. So we need biblical reflection, and we're better to go than Jesus' own evangelistic activity. But there's other of us who need to get with it, evangelizing. and it's probably, in certainly the camps in which I'll find myself, in which we rightly have a high interest in Christian doctrine, thinking in biblical biblically clear ways, but are we sharing the gospel with people? I mean, the truth is, the people who live on our street, who sit next to us at work, they are perishing because they've not turned to Christ. And so all of this drives it. And as I'm preaching John, I just thought, what a wonderful way to make a contribution on both directions, both biblical reflection on how we're to evangelize and both biblical motivation to do it, is this material from John's Gospel. So John chapter 1, you begin with the witness of John the Baptist to Jesus, and then you have Jesus call to the disciples. And you really get general principles there. I think that's, that whole section is largely general principles, very valuable. Chapter 3, with Jesus and Nicodemus, is this very robust theology of the Gospel. The evangel is the Latin word for gospel. If we're going to evangelize, we need to know what the evangel is. And Jesus really works it out with Nicodemus. And then you get to chapter 4, and for me, this is one of the highlight chapters of the Bible, both in terms of biblical method and biblical message, as our Lord Jesus really engages in what everyone around him thought was the most unlikely thing, with the most unlikely person, as Jesus so carefully and lovingly and so effectively brings this woman to saving faith.
And there's a stark contrast there, right, between what takes place with John chapter 3, the encounter with Nicodemus, and then this woman. They're on opposite ends of the spectrum, and yet in both chapters you see Jesus interested in evangelizing each one of them.
And I would argue that John, the depth of the Gospel of John is beyond description. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit's got so many things going on in the Gospel of John. But I think it's not by chance that you have a man at the top of life and a woman at the bottom of life. Mm-hmm. And the number of contrasts between the two of them. And yet they share one thing very much in common, their need for the gospel if they're going to be saved. And Nicodemus shows us that no one is too high to be above their need for the gospel. The woman by the well shows us is no one is so low they can't be saved through the gospel.
Amen.
And so much is at work between the two. Mm.
Dr. Paisley used to say, from the uttermost to the guttermost.
Amen.
You
there
know,
it is.
The description of both categories.
Well, I just think you were talking earlier about some of the highlights that John gives us that maybe the other gospel writers don't. And in the first part of your book, you talk about John the Baptist being the witness to Jesus Christ, pointing to the Lord Jesus, behold the Lamb of God. One of those key themes in the Gospel of John is the theme of witness. And you were talking earlier about, you know, the gospel and gospel methodology and what the church is involved in today is, you know, the gospel method is not marketing goods and services, but essentially we are witnesses. That's why we talk about witnessing. We are witnesses to the truth, witnesses to who the Lord Jesus Christ is, witnesses to what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. And again, think about the concept of witness. The idea is we're on the witness stand, as it were, and we're testifying. And so it seems to me, as you look at John the Baptist, and then you look at the way Jesus, of course, pointed to himself, because he is the evangel, as it were, right, himself. Amen. He's the good news. Then essentially what we're called to do is preach the gospel the same way that Christ did, the same way that John the Baptist did, which is simply witnessing to the truth of who Christ is. And why we have all of these other things is beyond me, but what we need to do is call folk back to engaging in simple witness of the truth of God.
Yeah, and I want to be very careful. People might hear this kind of thing and say, oh, it's these guys against other guys, and they're just trying to put down other Christians.
Mm-hmm.
It's not driving, I don't think you guys, I'll tell you, it's not driving me.
Right.
Our generation desperately needs the biblical gospel.
Mm.
And the biggest problem is the church has been reluctant to present it.
Mm.
Because we've bought into a Madison Avenue advertising market of how we're going to win people. We're going to achieve numbers, attendance, buildings, and cash, the ABCs of church success today.
Yeah.
And Hollywood and Madison Avenue have been the harlots that we have brought into our household. And we have engaged in entertainment and marketing, largely of goods and services, so that people, we've asked the question, what do they want? And we've given it to them.
Mm-hmm.
What we need to do is consult the Bible and say, how would God have us be his witnesses? And that's where I'm trying to drive
us. Yeah. And don't you think, in light of what you're saying, not us against them, not, you know, trying to say they're bad, we're good, et cetera, but in light of what you've just said, don't you think it's this buying into the Madison Avenue type thing that has dampened the witness among the saints? It's the saints in general who need to be out there sharing the gospel.
Well, we have, I mean, really, it's been going on for 20, 30 years now,
mm-hmm.
where the church growth movement's what it's known for, and it basically, some of their biggest leaders have begun their churches by polling their communities,
mm-hmm.
asking them, this is what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to hear? What do you want to experience in church? And they've given it to them. And they've liked it. What a surprise. But I remember Dr. Boyce used to always say to me, what we save them with, we save them too.
Yeah.
And if we save them with a lifestyle, I mean, how often do you see in Christian publishing now these beautiful people having wonderful secular times?
Yeah.
And we're marketing a lifestyle, the byproducts, but we're not giving them the product. We're not giving them Christ.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we've got to go to a break. We'll be back in 90 seconds. 1-888-660-WLFJ. 1-888-660-9535. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. You can visit our website at callingfortruth.org, where you will find archives of past shows, Dr. Dean's crosswalk commentary, audio sermons, and other helpful resources at callingfortruth.org.
Listen to Christian Worldview today with Dr. Tony Bean.
Our faith has worked out into a complete worldview where we have a Christian position on science, we have a Christian position on politics, we have a Christian understanding of the arts and culture and entertainment, we have a Christian position on business and economics. These days, we don't survive unless we have a Christian worldview as well.
Christian Worldview today with Dr. Tony Bean. It's heard weekday mornings at 7 a.m. right here on Christian Talk 660.
Have you had the English experience? The English Country Tea Rooms and Restaurant in Taylors has a high reputation offering an authentic English menu in a great setting. Did you know that we also cater for all kinds of special events, including many weddings, on and off site? If you're in a hurry, you can call ahead and we'll have your food ready when you arrive. We even have a souvenir store, so come to the English Country Tea Rooms and Restaurant and have your very own English experience. Check us out on the web at EnglishCountryTeaRooms.com.
This is Pastor Johnny Touche. Mount Moriah Baptist Church is privileged to sponsor Calling for Truth. They represent what we believe as a local church, that Christ is sufficient for salvation and sanctification, and that the Word of God will bring hope for humanity, and that our fullest joy is found in worshiping Christ. All Sunday service times are at 10:15 a.m. and 7 p.m. If we can help you with any needs, please call us at 420-1228.
You're listening to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church located at 2020 Gibshoals Road in Greer and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. To find out more about our ministry, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. If you have a question or a comment on today's topic, please call 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Now here are the hosts of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
All right, welcome back into the second half of Calling for Truth. Our special guest is Rick Phillips, the new pastor at Second Presbyterian Church here in Greenville, South Carolina. And he's a member of the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. He's done a lot of work for the Lord, and we're happy that he's here. Let me just give a brief illustration, then we'll go to the phone lines. I can't remember if it was Spurgeon or D.L. Moody, but someone came up to, I'm going to make the point, didn't matter which one it was, but someone came up to one of them on the street one day, and he said, you know, I don't like the way you do evangelism. And I think it was Spurgeon, perhaps, Moody. Or Moody. Was it Moody? And he responded, well, how do you do evangelism? And the man said, well, I don't. And Moody said, well, I like the way I do evangelism better than the way you don't do evangelism. And a lot of times we are talking about method, but ultimately what we're saying is the people of God need to do evangelism. We need to be telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ.
And yet that evangelism we do needs to be biblically recognizable as such. I would say about that illustration, the danger is the false dichotomy.
Yes.
It's not the difference between not doing evangelism and doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
let's serve our Lord faithfully. Yes. Let's engage in those activities that God has promised to sovereignly bless with His saving power. We do have a need for doctrinal people to start taking a spiritual interest in the people in their lives. But we also have a need to do God's work God's way. We really need that today.
Yes. You know, we had Will Metzger on the line here. He was one of our guests on the program, and he talked about, you know, the struggle that he had that very many other people have had as well. You know, all the different methodologies associated with evangelism. I remember one out of his book that we highlighted was the gospel bomb that he called, that they called it. They drive by in a car and be a hitchhiker on the side of the road, and they would form a track in a certain, like an airplane or something, and then shoot it at the person's feet as they drove by. He just talked about the ridiculousness of a lot of these types of things. And so it really is refreshing for us to say here, I think, first and foremost, it's got to be biblical. We've got to go back to the Word of God and find our instructions right there in the Word of God. We're going to do that in just a minute. We're going to look at this chapter. But before we do, let's go to the phone line. We have Don from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania on the line. Don, welcome into the program today.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks, brothers. Dr. Phillips, I've really profited greatly from everything that I've read and found on the net from the Alliance. It's a great organization, and thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yes. One, I have two questions, actually. One is, I'd like you to elaborate a little bit on what you mean by reformed evangelism. For example, when you're talking to somebody about Christ, I would assume you mean Puritan evangelism, where you would communicate to the person how hopeless they are without Christ, if they're dead in trespasses and sin, etc. And then the second question I have is that I'm part of our missions outreach team, and it's frustrating to me that as a church, it's hard to implement an evangelism, and I hate to use the word program, but a way of evangelizing the community as a church. We tried EE, and in our heavily Roman Catholic community, it just doesn't work. People are at home. People don't answer the door because of home invasions and that kind of thing. And I just wanted to ask you, from your own experience, what you have found to be most effective, knowing all the while that it's the Holy Spirit, obviously, who has to do the work. And I'll take my answers off the air. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Don. That's great stuff. I think when I was talking about reform and evangelism, I was using reform in the generic sense, that we need to biblically reform our evangelism. That's what I really mean. And yes, it needs to be the biblical gospel. It's going to be, it's just not possible to leave someone to Jesus without bringing up the topic of sin and atonement, the necessity of faith and repentance. There just is no other gospel than that's given by God. But my main thing is we need to reform, by which I mean biblically reflect and change, if we're not in line with what the Bible will show us, both the methods and the message we're using. On the second issue, it's true. I mean, what you're showing in your experience, it's hard to get people motivated to do these things. It shows why revival must begin in the church. If we're going to pray for revival, we need to start praying in our churches and for our churches. Mm-hmm. And I think it will be the overflow of the work of the Holy Spirit in the church. Where does it start? It starts with preaching the Word, because it's the Word that the Holy Spirit blesses. And we need a renewed commitment to prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people don't want to come and pray. What does that show us? Mm-hmm. We have a great need for revival in our own churches. And how will that be seen? Well, the way I like to say it is that our people will take a spiritual interest in the people in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think what ought to be happening is, and my own church is going to hear a lot of this, I promise to preach the gospel. You have a duty to bring your neighbors to church and invite them. I saw a survey recently that said that 77% of the people in America today who had been invited to church by a friend or family member came. Because we're living in spiritually hungry times. That's why the Da Vinci Code's a bestseller and all this stuff. And everybody assumes that the secular culture hates us. Well, they may hate what they've heard about us, but like Nicodemus in his tree, trying to get a glimpse of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The people
Zacchaeus,
living.
Yeah.
What did I say?
Nicodemus.
Zacchaeus.
Zacchaeus.
I mean Zacchaeus.
Right.
the people living next door to us are lying awake at night wondering what's going to happen to them when they die.
Mm-hmm.
And we're assuming that they're not interested. And my wife once had a conversation with the checkout counter woman at Walmart and invited her to church. And she came to church, and she heard the gospel in church. Why? Because I preached the gospel. She was converted. She's a member of that church now.
Wow, praise the Lord.
And that's how one of the ways it will manifest itself is by the people of God wanting to come to pray for the lost and wanting to be involved. And, yeah, you talked about, you know, he wasn't working where he was. We want to exercise wisdom methodologically and biblical wisdom, too. But we need to preach the gospel. We need to pray for revival in our churches.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Along that same line, the opening line in there, one of the lines, John chapter 4, verse 4, says this, speaking of Jesus, he must needs go through Samaria. There's the line that's there. Talk about that with the idea of caring for the lost, sacrificial. Christ doesn't have to go through there because it's a geographical necessity. He can go around it just like all the other Jews do, but he doesn't. Yeah. He must needs go through there. Elaborate on that a little bit, please.
Well, let's talk about our wonderful Lord.
Mm.
And this is a great line, John 4, 4. And it was necessary for him, or in the King James, he must need.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing you want to say is it wasn't necessary for Jesus to go through Samaria. No, none of the other Jews did. In fact, he would risk much by doing so. And so the question is, in what sense, how was it necessary for Jesus? Because such is his love for the lost and for the particular among those lost whom he intends to save, that he was compelled by his love and by his grace. I just think that's such a wonderful statement you get in John's gospel. And we need to realize that is our Lord. That is our Savior who has a passion. At the end of John chapter 4, you have this wonderful encounter when the disciples come back. The woman from by the well, she's come to faith. She's gone back to Sychar. She's going to witness to them. And the disciples come back, and they're kind of disgusted by the whole thing. What's he doing talking to her? And they've gone to get Jesus some food. And so they come back, and they give him the food. And Jesus is watching her go back to Sychar to witness what she'd learned of him to them. And Jesus says to them as they offer him a lunch, he says, I don't need the food. My meat and my drink is to do my Father's will. And I think in the book I talk about how, you know, for some people, fishing is their thing. I have nothing against that. And when they're reeling in a big fish, don't offer them a sandwich. They're not, you know, for some people it's Bach. You know, they don't even breathe while Bach's being played. For our Lord Jesus, it's the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And his bodily functions are suspended as he's totally wrapped up in this newly redeemed woman witnessing for him in the world. It tells us that the thing that most excites our living Savior right now is the witness of his gospel to the perishing world.
Wow, praise the Lord. It is wonderful. You know, thinking about that whole subject of Jesus entering into this conversation, it brings out this whole idea of connecting with people on a personal level. I hear so many people talk about salvation as a plan, and I think, well, salvation is a person. You know, we've kind of made it so that it's not very conducive to introducing people to a plan. You know, that's an insurance plan or something. This, we want to introduce them to Jesus personally. We've got to know people on a personal level. This chapter shows that, doesn't it?
Well, I think the thing you see, too, here's why, to me, John 4 is so relevant to our times. Because I just said that people are like Zacchaeus. They're wondering about God. They're wondering what's going to happen when they die. They're seeking purpose in life. I was just walking up and down Main Street yesterday in Greenville. I'm so excited to be here, the location of our church, right there at the West End. And you look into people's faces and you see it written on it. Is this all there is? Is there purpose to life? But there are reasons why many of those people will not come to our churches. They're not going to come to our churches on their own. We have to go to them. And the church must connect with the people. And here's Jesus going out of his way. And you just watch in John chapter 4 as Jesus is crossing the boundaries. There's social boundaries and cultural boundaries. The Jews hated the Samaritans. That's a racial, ethnic, cultural hatred. And there's reasons for it. You know, the Samaritans had been moved in by the Assyrians, and they practiced a perverted form of Judaism, and they'd warred against one another. And all the other Jews hated Samaritans. They went around it. Jesus just crosses over that boundary. Then you have the cultural ones, you know, the Israelite religious views. They wouldn't even tell you, for Jesus even to touch a Samaritan would render him unclean in the eyes of many of his fellow countrymen. And the woman's astounded. How is it that you, a man, a Jewish man, was not even permitted to speak to his wife in public? So there's the gender thing. And Jesus crosses the boundaries. Here's the message for us. We have to go to them. Mm. We have to go into the world. We have created, and for some good reasons, a Christian ghetto that we never leave, and we don't know any unbelievers, and we don't have any intercourse with them. We don't touch them, as it were.
In fact, in that passage, he doesn't have anything to draw the water with, so implying that he's going to have to drink out of her utensil that she has there, her bucket or whatever. I mean, you can't get any more than a personal connection than that.
And see, Jesus sees her for all that's messed up with her. What a mess this woman is. She's a person of value to the Lord Jesus, and there are things she can contribute. Do we look upon the world that way?
Mm.
See, if we don't, they know we don't.
Mm. I tell you what, that's the challenging question, and crossing those barriers, that's the challenge for us as witnesses for the Lord Jesus. When we come back, we'll be in the last segment, and we'll take a couple more phone calls. We're talking with Rick Phillips, pastor, Second Presbyterian Church here in Greenville, 1-888-660. WLFJ, that's 1-888-660-9535. You're listening to Calling for Truth.
Thanks for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. For more information about our ministry and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
Hey, Greenville, this is Dave Ramsey, and I'll be live in your city on August 23rd to get you on your way to a total money makeover. This is the largest event on personal finance in the country because it gives you the proven plan for your money that actually works. Join me along with Christian Talk 660 for the most important event of your financial future. To reserve your seats or to get more information, call 888-22-PEACE. That's 888-227-3223 or DaveRamsey.com.
Southern Stone is proud to be a sponsor of Calling for Truth. Their greatest desire is to magnify Jesus Christ in all they do. Southern Stone has been providing quality craftsmanship and excellent service in many fine upstate communities for over 10 years. To find out more about the benefits of stone and how to achieve your custom look, call Southern Stone at 864-879-3008. That's 879-3008. Southern Stone, a proud sponsor of Calling for Truth.
Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7, reminding you that God is love. You're listening to Christian Talk 660.
Welcome back to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. Providence Baptist Church and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship are dedicated to making disciples who make disciples. If you would like more information on our biblical counseling materials, log on to callingfortruth.org. Now here are the hosts of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
All right, welcome into the last segment. Let me take care of some business before we get back to our discussion. Let me mention Frodo's Pizza, Cherrydale Point. It's my favorite pizza place for a lot of reasons, and primarily because the pizza is out of this world. The buffet is going on even as we speak. Now, don't go now, but go after the broadcast, all right, because it goes until 3 o'clock. It's all you can eat. A lot of us like that feature, and for one low price, you get the pizza, the salad, the dessert, the drink, a great atmosphere, family atmosphere, great conversation if you take some folk with you. Frodo's Pizza, Cherrydale Point. Listen, take your church bulletin. You get a discount. Mention that you heard them on Calling for Truth. You won't get anything for that, but do it anyway. All right? Now, let me give you the phone number. It's 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Mel Duncan, who is with Ligonier Ministries and Second Presbyterian Church, he's got a note on the Sunday installation service. Then we're going to go to the phone lines. Mel, go right ahead.
You know, we've had a Lord of the Rings type reference in the broadcast, so this is a trifecta for what we're doing. Yeah, we're so glad to be with you today, Paul and Kevin. We always enjoy listening and Calling for Truth and being on Isaac's radio station here, 660 AM, and we do want to let folks know that Rick's ordination installation service actually will be on Sunday night. Dr. Sinclair Ferguson, the venerable pastor of the historic First Presbyterian Church of Columbia, South Carolina, a beloved theologian and author, will be preaching. Phil Ryken, who you mentioned earlier, who's on staff at 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, is coming down to charge Rick. They are lifelong friends together and comrades in the Lord. A number of ministers from the area, elders from the area, will be participating in the service. We're excited about that. Rick is a real answer to prayer for our congregation, and we just can't wait to see what the Lord is going to do with us, with him together in the west end of Greenville. Second Presbyterian Church is a ordinary means of grace church located in the heart of Greenville. We're a historic church, but we have a heart for the city.
Amen.
And we're excited about what God is calling us to do together in the coming years. So thank you for letting us tell folks about that. We're looking forward to doing ministry together in the coming years in Greenville.
Amen.
Now, I wanted you to mention, if you would, please, where people can get this book. This is being put out by, we're only going to just scratch the surface here a little bit today, but it's being put out by Reformation Trust. Tell them about the website that that's on, and we do have a link on our website as well to that. But just explain a little bit about who's putting this out and where people can go to get it.
Sure. Thanks, Kevin. Reformation Trust is the new printing division of Ligonier Ministries. www.ligonier.org. And Rick is one of our first new authors in the Ligonier Reformation Trust imprint, and we're excited about that. If you go to the website, you can see information about those titles that are available. R.C. Sproul is printing all of his new books through Reformation Trust. So if you're interested in finding good R.C. Sproul books, like his new title, A Taste of Heaven, you need to go to ligonier.org to find that. Of course, Renewing Your Mind is broadcast here on 660 AM every day at 9 AM. And we're happy to be a part of the 660 family. But that's a good place for information. We have archives of the TV show and the radio show that you can access. And that's a good place to go if you're looking for good Christian materials from RC.
Yeah, one of the things I like about Rick Phillips' book, Jesus the Evangelist, not only God's work, God's way for God's glory, but it's divided into 13 chapters. And as a pastor, I like that you can work through it in Sunday school in a quarter. It's got questions and answers at the end of discussion questions at the end of each chapter. So that makes it easy for us to get hold of and present it to our congregation.
Amen. Good point, Paul. Why don't we run back to the phone line very quickly? We got David from Spartanburg on the line. Go ahead, David. Welcome to Calling for Truth.
I appreciate it. One of y'all had said something a while ago that really struck home with me. I can't remember who it was, but that salvation is not a plan, it's a person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's always been, I guess, one of my pet peeves, you know, is I call it, we've done this thing as the 1, 2, 3, ABC, pray with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, it's just, that is not how you evangelize. I mean, you know, you have to have the leading of the Holy Spirit. I mean, you can't, you know, and I even hesitate sometimes in my witness to even try to get, even press for a decision because, you know, I have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit if that person's ready. I mean, you can actually pick the fruit and it's not ripe.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I believe we've done that. A lot of our churches were so concerned with, you know, turning in so many baptisms, so many professions of faith that Sunday or whatever, you know, and it's tragic.
Mm-hmm.
But something somebody else said, I think it was Rick, was about, you know, our hurting world, and there's a song, I don't know if you heard of Casting Crowns, the group, but there's a song called Can Anybody Hear Her? And the video, y'all have to get that video and put it on your website. I mean, it touched my heart so much. Basically about this girl.
Yeah, has that line in there too about her being right underneath our steeples.
Is yeah,
that
what? Yeah,
yeah,
under
in the shadow of the steeple.
Of the
steeple.
Yeah,
and that, you know, struck me
like,
too.
That's where we are today.
Mm.
And she, you know, she went by a church. She made herself known, and nobody even acknowledged her or made her known. And you know, she was just like, you know, fully on this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to say it, I believe that's where we are in the church today. We're so caught up. We're saved, we're on our way to heaven, and then, I hate to say it this way, but to hell with the rest of the world.
Mm. Well, you know, there's a culture war going on in America. We know that. We all care about that. But it's not what's going on at the personal level. And what we tend to do is we tend to take the culture war and apply it to our relationships. And right under our steeple are people who have a desperate need for what we have to give or what God has to give through us. Wrapping up everything you said, you know, Jesus in John 4, another great statement he makes to the woman by the well, he says, if you knew who was speaking to you and what is the gift of God, then you would ask him and he would give it to you. Mm. Now there it is. Mm. Who is Jesus and what is God's gift through her? And I have to say, as someone who is deeply committed to atonement theology, as I'm sure all of you brothers are, that there is no other gospel without the blood of Christ. And
that's right.
We cannot just brush aside the sin issue. It struck me that that is not what Jesus brings up first with this woman. What he first brings up is who he is as the Son of God and Savior and the gift of life that he has to offer. Now, he's not going to neglect, he's not going to sidestep the fact that she needs to confess her sins and be forgiven. But that, I think it's very instructive to us that Jesus says that here's two things we need to lead off with. Do you know who Jesus is? The answer is they do not.
Mm.
They've got pictures they got from who knows where, maybe from us even, that have led them astray. And do we know that God has a gift of life? And I'll tell you, people are dying today for lack of life.
Mm.
And we have freedom and life and power from God that we're the heralds of.
Mm.
And, boy, they're right under our steeple. If you knew who was speaking to you, Jesus said, and what is the gift of God? Mm. Wow.
Mm. Wow. David, anything else?
I was going to say, you know, to me, it's a crime. You know, like I said, we have the answer in us. And, you know, you've heard of the analogy before. If somebody's house is burning down, would you sit there and just, you know, well, I'm afraid they might be offended, you know. No, you'd be, you know, knocking their door down and trying to get them out.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it is a, you know, I consider it a crime to sit there and not do anything.
Well,
right here are just now. In fact, I was talking to my daughter today. I told her, I was like, "Do you know how many millions of people a day die around the world?" I'm not sure of the number, but I'm sure it's in the millions. You know, we got what 6 billion people on the earth.
And what this shows is the greatest need in this world today is for a deep work of God to take place in my life.
Yeah.
That's the great, an authentic, real Christianity to take place in my life.
Amen.
That's the need.
David, we're running out of time. I got one more call. Thank you so much for your comments.
Right.
Let's run quickly to Michael in Piedmont. Michael, sorry, we're about out of time, but go ahead.
Yeah, just a quick comment with my own experience. I've had some real struggles, I would say, in the last couple of years in not evangelizing like I desire to. And what I've realized there were lots
Michael,
of
people. Michael, can you turn your radio off? Sorry to interrupt you. Can you turn your radio down?
Yeah,
a lot of feedback.
What I've realized over the last couple of months is the lack of prayer.
Amen.
And I know in the scriptures it says, Jesus Christ says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And I had read an old Puritan who said, you know, he doesn't say I might, he says I will.
Mm.
And the main thing you see Christ every morning and every evening is on his face in prayer. And what I've really been struggling with lately, I mean, I've been a Christian 7 years, but you know, I've got hold of the word in my own hands, but the word hasn't got hold of me yet. So I've been going back just to the basics. You know, all have sinned, and you know, all of us deserve death, but Christ demonstrated his own love and he died. And if we would just prayerfully meditate on those and let that word become flesh in us, then you know, we're at the gas station, pump 5. You know, providentially God desires no one should perish, and they're at pump 4.
Yeah.
Someone else. And we can't reach out to them because we love them necessarily all the time, because sometimes we don't.
Mm.
But our love for, you know, my love for my wife is going to tell people, man, she's just absolutely beautiful. But Christ is so much more beautiful, so I need to just spend more time with Christ.
That's it, Michael. I hate to cut you off. We're under about 25 seconds. You made the point beautifully. Thank you. Rick, last words. You got 20 seconds.
That's not a bad last word our brother gave us.
Yes.
If you're struggling with witnessing, start praying and asking God to change your heart.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is, you haven't really shown an interest in the spiritual well-being of others. Confess that to God and ask him to change you. Start praying. Let me say to every listener, let's each of us start praying for God to use us to save one particular person. You start praying for your witness to one particular person. You ask God to give you a real heart for them. You ask God to give you an opportunity, and you ask God to bless that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And, boy, that's not a prayer that will be wasted.
Amen. Rick, Mel, thank you very much for being on the program today. And thank you for joining us right here on Calling for Truth. We'll see you again next week.
Thanks again for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. To contact us for more information about our ministry, the resources that we have to offer, or to make a tax-deductible donation to our ministry, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship. If you have enjoyed today's program, be sure to join us each weekday at 1 o'clock for Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660 WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.